From the shores of Puget Sound, this is Healthy Homecast. Healthy Homecast is created and operated by Healthy Painting and HealthyPainting.com. Healthy Homecast is your source for information, news, and events that focus on environmental responsibility, environmental consciousness, and eco-related products and practices. Find us on the web at www.healthyhomecast.com. And now your host, Daryl Whalen.
Okay, good evening, and welcome to Healthy Homecast. And this is episode 4, Yahoo. We've got Jeff McCord from Nickel Brothers House Moving, and myself, Daryl Whalen, and Tony Freis, our engineer, and what was it that he didn't, oh, the producer thing.
Yeah.
And he's a fantastic producer, even though he doesn't want to take ownership of that. But anyhow, we're going to get into talking with Jeff about house moving and perhaps a few other things. But first, here's Tony with the news. It's time for some healthy news, information, and events that are happening throughout the Puget Sound area. Sponsored by PigeonPointPC.com.
Alrighty, and thank you for tuning in. Got a few things up for you this podcast. First up is joineaglebuilding.org for 2 Puget Sound green tours in 1 spectacular weekend. This is Saturday and Sunday, April 16th and 17th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. First one is the South Sound Green Tour. The South Sound chapter is hosting their second annual green tour featuring a variety of deep green projects and workshops to help participants easily visualize solutions for their home or business remodel projects. Next up is the Seattle Green Home Tour. This year, the Seattle chapter is joining in the fun with a green home tour featuring tour sites in and around Seattle, King, and Snohomish County. Find inspiration, education, and solutions emphasizing on energy efficiency, water conservation, eco-friendly finishes and materials, comfort and quality. Design and construction professionals will also be on hand to answer all your questions. For more info, go to www.ecobuilding.org. Next up is the Cooper Point Restoration Workday at the Cooper Point Properties in Olympia. And this is April 20th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Join us to restore this stretch of shoreline on the Cooper Point Peninsula. Your efforts will help to protect this beautiful native forest from aggressive and invasive weeds. We will be removing English ivy and other habitat-modifying invasive species and installing native plants. Make sure you bring your own lunch and water bottle, and if you happen to have tools or work gloves, bring them as well. Also, make sure you wear sturdy footwear and dress for the weather. Light snacks and beverages will be provided. This is a free, family-friendly event, and for more information, contact Christina Donhauer at 360-754-9177 or visit www.pugetsound.org. Next up, the Environmental Science Center presents the Earth Day Dinner and Auction, Friday, April 22nd at 6 p.m., located at the SeaTac Community Center at 13735 24th Avenue South, SeaTac, Washington. Please join us for a delicious feast and fabulous company as we learn about the difference the Environmental Science Center is making in our community. Bid on exciting auction items, including a paella party, sailboat cruise, and travel getaways. Fine wines and dinner provided by the Puget Sound Skills Culinary Arts students. Tickets are $40, and you can contact Brown Paper Tickets to register at www.brownpapertickets.com or by calling 1-800-838-3006. The Environmental Science Center serves 10,000 students each year throughout South This is why I shouldn't do this live all the time. Throughout South King County with experimental environmental science field studies, camps, and events. For more information, visit www.envsciencecenter.org. And last but not least, join the American Lung Association in the fight for healthy lungs and healthy air at the 2011 Fight for Air Run on May 1st at Magnuson Park in Seattle. You will help save lives today and keep America healthy tomorrow. For more information, go to www.alaw.org. That is the news, and now back to the podcast.
Please feel free to send any news, information, and events that focus on environmental consciousness and responsibility, as well as health, happiness, safety, and well-being, to info@healthyhomecast.com. And now, back to Healthy Homecast.
Okay, thanks a lot, Tony. Got some great stuff going on, and we'll put those links on the site or have those somewhere on the site, and stay tuned for each episode. We'll have more up and coming events in the Puget Sound, and we're going to get started here. So, Jeff, thanks a lot for coming down tonight to our number four.
Thanks podcast. So much for having me. It's really fun to be here.
You're quite welcome. And we'll just let you start out here. Why don't you tell us what you do, a bit about your company, and we'll take it from there.
Sure. I work for a company called Nickel Brothers House Moving, and unlike what you might expect, we don't move the furniture in the houses. We actually move the whole house, and you'll see if you follow some of the links that I'm sure Daryl will put on the Healthy Homecast site that you can see some pictures of the houses. They're not just little tiny houses, but anything from a bungalow-style house up to two or even a three-story structure. So there's houses of all shapes and sizes that we move.
So what's your position within the business?
Well, I work on some of the sales and marketing, and I also do some of the estimating. So when people want to have some more basement height and they want to have us lift up the house or replace a failing foundation, or if they want to just move their house over on their lot or perhaps even move it to a different lot, I'll come out and take a look and see how much it costs to get something like that done.
Cool. So a little bit about Nickel Brothers. Why don't you tell us how long that they've been in business and a little bit about the background of the business itself and the owners?
Absolutely. It's a family-owned business, and it was not my family, but it was a family that was started by basically the uncle and father of the current owners, of the current Nickel Brothers, and it was started in 1956. And it's been in continuous operation ever since then. Right now, there are two main brothers that own it and two other brothers that have been involved in the business in various ways. And it's just a really neat company to work for because of the amazing skill set that everybody has. And it's such an unusual job. We actually have four offices. Our U.S. operations are based out of Everett. And then we also have three Canadian offices, one in Vancouver, one in Nanaimo, and one in Victoria.
Awesome, eh?
Yes.
I'm not a good Canadian imitator. How did you get involved with the company? How did you get the position? And
yeah, that's a good question. I kind of stumbled into house moving by accident in a way. My wife and I were, we live in West Seattle, and we happened to be walking down California Avenue at one point, and we saw a open house for a beautiful craftsman that had been restored. And the architect had a townhouse, set of townhouse units that had been built around the craftsman. But what was interesting is that she got to telling us that the house that had been where the townhouses were was not demolished like I would have expected, but instead it was allowed to be moved to a different place nearby. And so I was really fascinated by that concept, that it was basically a zero waste situation. The craftsman was reused and turned into her architecture office, and the townhouses were built where there was a house that was allowed to be reused as well. So there was nothing that went into a landfill, and there was historic preservation that also occurred. So while we were talking, she said, by the way, we're going to be doing another project in about 6 months, and if you want, you can have the house. So I did a little double take and asked her what she meant, and she said, well, if you can find a place to move it, then you're welcome to have it for $1. And so I started looking into doing that, and lo and behold, learned all about how to do it and was able to save that house by moving it to another lot in the neighborhood. So that was kind of my introduction to house moving. And I ultimately started doing consulting for the city of Seattle having to do with house moving. And along the way had gotten to know and love the prospects of working with Nickel Brothers, both on the city projects and also potentially other projects. And it was just a really great fit, and we ended up with me working in the position in the Washington State operation. So that's how I ended up getting into it and finding a good fit with Nickel Brothers.
Yeah, that's really cool. There's a lot of great stuff involved in it that Jeff was just showing Tony and I here that we'll put on the list. And I was going to put it on myself a little bit and ask if that first Craftsman you were talking about was the one that I worked on when I met you.
Exactly. And that's actually a really great connection to tell people about. It was actually how you and I met and became friends subsequently, because it was the restoring of that Craftsman that you got involved with your wonderful painting business, so we kept in touch for years and years after that, and I think have really enjoyed the development of our friendship since then.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for that. You know, Jeff's been a great coincidentally, we're doing this podcast, but Jeff has been a great friend and a great support for my business and stuff. And when I moved to Seattle, it's been about 10 years now. That was the very first project that I worked on. And I remember sanding floors and doing all kinds of stuff that in the many years I've been in the painting business, I hadn't done a whole lot of. And it's been really, really great. So you talked a tiny little bit about the environmental aspect of your business. Can you go into more detail about what are the environmental business benefits of what you do?
Absolutely. One of the things that certainly got me interested in house moving was really the concept of house rescue. And I use that in two ways of talking about it. One is that there's the rescue of a house from needlessly having to be demolished and going to a landfill, which represents a huge amount of waste, as well as the historical aspect, because so many houses, particularly when there's a real estate boom, get demolished whenever there's development going on, because where there might be something zoned for something more dense, like a townhouse collection of units, then oftentimes any residential home that's on those lots get torn down, even if they're quite nice houses. So that whole recycling aspect is really interesting to me. And one of the things that's really fascinating is that Nickel Brothers has been an environmental business for long before it was even known what an environmental business was. I mean, literally since the 1950s, there have been literally tens of thousands of buildings that Nickel Brothers has saved. And it's not always just for contract moves. It's also when we will save buildings proactively. In other words, we'll actually find a building that's threatened for being demolished and we'll actually put it on our website, and then it becomes available for people to purchase.
Yeah, can you... So I have so many questions about this, and that's really great. I remember when I did move to Seattle, I guess it was about 9 years ago now, and the economy was really, really booming. And I remember because I came from Ohio, where people are generally, you know, didn't have the kind of money and stuff, and a lot more conservative in some ways about than, and people were ripping all the siding and ripping all the stuff and ripping out all the walls of their house and just throwing it all in the waste and stuff. And that's what they saw as like updating their houses and stuff. And being a person that's been pretty environmentally focused for the whole time, not nearly as much so now, but I really thought there was something kind of odd about that. And you guys, you know, the one thing I mentioned on the website is how you guys really saved like the honor and like the perfection and the craftsmanship of these old homes, because I've been painting houses since the late 70s that are over, you know, well over 100 years old. And for some reason, it's much harder for me to make money, and it's a harder work for me to work on these old homes. But I honestly love it a lot more.
It's true. And I think that it's that love of the craftsmanship and the details and the architecture that a lot of our customers really appreciate, because they would prefer to buy a home that has that character and that has no other way of saying it, kind of a soul. Whereas a newer house or a house that's freshly built, while it might be really polished and not have quirks and things like that, it doesn't really have that character that an older house like a 1910 or a 1920s house might have. So that's a huge aspect of what people like about recycling a home and looking for a home that we might have available.
Yeah, I've got a ton of questions. One that just pops in my mind about what you just said is I was wondering what is the difference or the challenges either way of moving a house that's, say, 70, 80 years old, because we'll probably get into saying how there's a few houses that you've moved that are actually pretty new. And is there something that you could say about the differences of moving an 80 or 90 year old house versus moving one that could be 5 or 10 years old?
Well, that's a good question. You might think that an older house would be more rickety and not so stable, but the fact is that back in those days, they had at their disposal all the old growth fir trees and original lumber that was available. In fact, if you look at most floor joists and studs that are in houses of that era, they're actually furniture grade, vertical grain fir with no knots and just beautiful. And that was what they used to build in those days. And that stuff is not only structurally very stable, but it's also lasts a very long time. And that's also true with even like fir siding. A lot of siding around here is like a lap fir siding. And as you know from painting, even though it may take some real effort and some real care in how you do it, once you properly strip off the paint and you do the right prep, you can actually give that fir siding another 50-100 years life because of how solid it is.
Oh, I know from doing this stuff. Yeah, it's definitely the older houses are a lot more solid. And yeah, we certainly have some beautiful wood homes here in the Pacific Northwest. So let's talk a little bit. Some of these things you've mentioned very minusculely in the beginning of your introduction, but I'm going to bring a lot of it back up and ask for a little bit more detail on it. So how much waste is actually saved by doing one of these moves or saves?
That's a great question. Basically, a typical house, the average older house, is about anywhere from 1,400 to 1,600 square feet, compared to a newly built house, which is usually a little bit over 2,000 square feet. But even a 1,600 square foot house represents about 60 trees worth of lumber that would go into a landfill if you tore it down. And it also usually means about 40 tons of waste that would also be going into a landfill. And that's not including the foundation. That's just the house itself. And in fact, especially during boom times when there's a lot of building going on, construction and demolition debris represents anywhere from 30% to as much as 40% of our national landfill space.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah. And if you think about it, One of the only things that is anything more than that is paper waste because of office use and things like that. So C&D debris is actually one of the highest levels of waste. And one of the single best ways to save that is to actually keep a house intact and actually move it and reuse it. And, of course, reuse is far more use of that potential energy that's built up than building salvage and other alternatives. So while building salvage is wonderful and should be done, certainly if it's possible to move a house without having to take it apart, that's a great first choice. And then Nickel Brothers moves or lifts over 300 houses a year.
Wow.
And if you multiply that times the amount of tons of waste and the amount of board feet of lumber, it's huge. We've literally saved many millions of board feet of lumber from having to go into a landfill.
Wow. And, you know, one thing that I do know, I'm some of the trainings and stuff that I've done, that there's some of the negatives of old buildings is some of the materials like the lead and the asbestos and stuff. But the thing is, as long as it's not disturbed and stuff so much, so putting that all into the landfills is not such a great thing. So actually preserving that and learning how to properly encapsulate that stuff actually helps to give us a healthier community and a healthy planet and stuff that all together.
Yeah, you're obviously aware and educated about that. A lot of times people worry about the fact that an older house has those things in it, but you're absolutely right. As long as it's something that you're not taking apart and disassembling or sanding and doing things like that, then you're perfectly safe when it's encapsulated. And if it does get demolished, that's when it gets
exactly
when it gets what they call friable and goes into the air. So you're right.
So let's talk about dollars and cents. How much money is saved by doing one of these projects?
Yeah, basically, whenever we're selling a house, we're basically selling it for a single price. So you go to our website, you look at what houses we have, and we have houses of all sizes and shapes, anything from a 1940s kind of cottage or small rectangular home that might cost somewhere around $40,000 up to, you know, a big waterfront home with a wonderful porch all the way across the front that might be $150,000 or $160,000. And that price includes the house and the delivery to your lot. Most of our deliveries are done by barge. So effectively, you can come and look at a house that we have, and we have some houses on our lot in Everett. You can actually come up and look at them and tour them. And then if you find something that you like, then we load it onto a barge and we move it to a landing location near your lot.
Hmm.
And we roll it right to where you have your lot. In terms of the cost, there's no other costs other than the price that's on the website. And then, of course, you would have your finishing costs with the foundation work and any permits and hookups and things like that on the lot.
So, yeah, and without getting too detailed or, like, so let's say let's take this $150,000 house that you're talking about. We obviously know that the move and the sales and the finishing of the foundation and stuff and the other stuff that might be involved. What approximately is the, let's say, the sale-to-build ratio savings?
It's a great question, and typically, it is you save anywhere from one third to half of what it would cost to build an equivalent sized house. So,
wow.
In other words, if you were building a similar sized house to, like, for example, that large waterfront home that I showed you that's on our website, then you'd probably be spending around twice as much to build a house of that size. So it can represent, in many cases, some instant equity as well. Like when you have a lot and then you buy a moved house, you can actually end up having equity even after you've got it all set up and running.
Hmm. So let's get in a little bit. Obviously, moving a house and everything that's involved in it is it's a big undertaking. And it's a very fascinating undertaking, I know for myself, at least that's my opinion. Let's try to get as much in, and without going too deeply into it, explain the process of moving a house.
Completely, yeah. What we do is we start by the basement of the house would be where it would be emptied out. It's cleared out so that we actually have access to the floor joists underneath, because of course we can't bring the actual concrete foundation, but what we do is we bring anything from the floor joists and above. Once the basement's been cleared out, then we usually use, like for a typical smaller house, we put in two main beams that go perpendicular to the floor joists. Those main beams are slid into place and they're supported on crisscrossed timbers that we call cribbing. And the cribbing piles almost look like Lincoln logs stacked up. Once that's stacked up underneath the beams, then we have these large hydraulic jacks that are put in each of the cribbing piles. They're hooked to hydraulic hoses, and then we actually use vegetable oil in the hydraulics. We put pressure on the jacks, and at the point that we can tell that we're getting some lift from any one of the jacks, then we know what the weight is for that part of the house. And it's nice with our system because it's called a unified or balanced jacking system. So we actually put pressure on each individual jack, and we know exactly how much weight is meant to be put or how much pressure is meant to be put on each jack. Once we have those weights dialed in, then we have a master valve that brings all of the jacks up at the same time, even though the pressures are different for each one. And by having a unified jacking system, it actually keeps the house very, very much on a flat plane, and it significantly reduces any cracking in the plaster and things like that. A lot of people ask us if there's other damage that occurs other than some minor plaster cracking and sometimes a little drywall separation in the joints that might occur. We don't see things like tiles breaking or windows breaking or things like that. It's actually quite a stable system. And wood frame houses in particular are actually quite forgiving too, and they actually work really well in a move. So even though they're being jostled around and they're, you know, they're being rolled on uneven surfaces along the move route, they actually do very, very well in a move.
So yeah, let's see, how far can you move something?
Good question. For a house that is what I would consider landlocked, in other words, something that's not close to a water location and maybe has a lot of kind of urban obstructions like trees or wires or telephone poles and things like that, it's best if the house can be kept within about a 10-block range. I mean, that's the ideal moving range, particularly if it's a large house. Now, if it's a low-roofed, smaller, one-story house, that could be extended by quite a bit, even inland. But a house that's that can find a pathway to water, which many of the houses that we move can, basically you can extend the range to literally hundreds and hundreds of miles, because a lot of our moves are done by barge. So what we do is we get the house down to a barge location, either at the end of a street or sometimes getting special permission to cross a park or some other open land, and we load the house onto the barge with our portable barge ramps that we lift into place. And they're big steel ramps that are 4 feet wide, and we put four of them together to form a wide enough bed to drive the house up. Once it's on a barge, then we can move it as far away as we moved houses all the way up to like northern British Columbia or near the top end of Vancouver Island, all around the Vancouver area, down to southern Washington, lots of different places like that.
How about the farthest? What's the farthest move that Nichols Brothers ever done?
Well, certainly we've moved industrial things all the way up in Alaska, for example.
Wow.
So in terms of houses, probably northern Vancouver Island would be the furthest But we've also moved a house, for example, from Hunts Point, a very large house, about a 3,500 square foot house, all the way from Hunts Point up to near Nanaimo in Canada. So,
how about the shortest move? What's the shortest move you've ever done?
A couple inches.
Seriously?
Yeah, actually, believe it or not, sometimes we have had situations where either because of lots being incorrectly measured or things like that, we've actually had to move a house, you know, like less than 5 inches in the
that's
past.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. So without getting into too much of it, you talked about the process a little bit. What about the utilities and codes and permits and fire departments? I think from people that don't know a lot about this, from the average layperson, and I would think kids and stuff especially, the thing that's kind of exciting is seeing it go down the street, and then the times that I've seen it many years ago back in Ohio, when they're literally taking all the wires and everything down. So what's the relationship and the coordination and the things that are needed to be put into place, like I said, with the codes and the permits and the utility departments and stuff?
Well, that's definitely a big challenge, and it's a big part of our business. We have a wonderful office staff that is extremely familiar with all the city codes and the requirements for road move permits, working with utilities, coordinating with all the flaggers and pilot cars and the police and fire So it's almost kind of like a military mission in a sense. I mean, there's so much that you have to coordinate, but it's actually a pretty well oiled machine. At the same time, the key factors are very good organization, very good office staff, and also just good relationships that are established with all the utilities and the building authorities and things like that. Since we have our system in place, basically, we almost become what you'd consider to be like a rolling traffic plan. So rather than what you'd see with a construction site with traffic cones and things like that, we actually end up having police and pilot cars that actually do a systematic shutdown of various parts of the road as the house makes progress. And then in terms of the utilities, we allow them the space they need and the preparation time they need to be able to pre-lift or sometimes lower the wires so that we can either cross over the wires or go under the wires.
And it often becomes like a community event or a spectacle. I mean, even almost like a parade for some people sometimes, doesn't it?
It does. And we, of course, you know, keep the crowds a safe distance and make sure everybody stays on the sidewalk for their own safety, because it is such a spectacle that sometimes, you know, if somebody wasn't careful, they might not realize that there's also traffic on the road. And so we make sure that people stay in safe situations. But it is really an amazing thing to come watch. And a lot of times, either the homeowners or their friends or even just the general public from the neighborhood will come out. And I'm talking adults and kids, because it's a really memorable event to see. And you really only see it a few times in your life, except for me.
So I just got the high sign from Tony, the producer. We're going to take a short little break and be right back with more with Jeff McCord and Nickel Brothers House Moving.
You are listening to Healthy Homecast.
Gravity connects me to the earth, which connects me to people who connect me to myself more honestly. And gravity connects me to the crust, which connects to the leaves on the trees that make it possible to breathe. With naive mind shield like a helmet, they would tell us that we don't know how we feel or how to connect with other people on the planet. Oh, if we only knew the power in each blue disillusioned little.
Okay, we're back, and once again, welcome to Healthy Homecast. episode 4. It's really exciting. Yeah, thanks so much. And there's a lot of stuff on the website and a lot of other great stuff coming up. And we're here once again with Jeff McCord with Nickel Brothers House Moving, hearing all kinds of neat, fun things along with the technical stuff about the house moving business and the incredible environmental aspect that saving homes. By the way, is it moving homes or saving homes, or what's the real kind of thing for you? A little bit of both, or how do you? I guess a good question would be is how do you initially? What's the initial attraction for somebody, and how do you initially sell the idea to somebody about taking on something like this?
Yeah, well, I think that when people think about house moving, it comes about in a variety of ways. Either they have a situation that they need to improve or fix. For example, like I mentioned earlier, when somebody has, maybe they have like a 6 foot or 7 foot basement, not quite tall enough to be able to have, you know, a nice, family room or bedrooms or even a mother-in-law unit. But by somebody lifting the house, giving them an extra couple of feet or maybe 3 feet of space, all of a sudden that lower floor becomes basically a doubling of their space. So that's one way that people sometimes think of us. And basically a house lift is very, very similar to a house move. It's basically the same procedure, except we're not putting it on our dolly wheels at the end. So that's one of the biggest ways that we get calls. And then other times people are trying to rescue a house or save a house that might need to be moved either on a lot or move it to a different place. And then, the other way is by people being environmentally interested, by wanting to figure out some creative way of actually, saving something that would otherwise be demolished, or they want something that is old, that has character, that they want to save for historical reasons. And very often, the way that people would hear about us for that is either because they search online and they discover us because we're pretty well known and respected in the whole of, well, really of all of North America, but also, of course, the Northwest. Or they might see us on the news, because we've been on the news a lot, as well as in newspaper articles. And we've also been on several national and international television programs. We've been on a program called Monster Moves several times.
I've heard of that one.
And then we've also been on a program that isn't produced anymore, but it was called Holland House. And so we were on about 3 episodes of that. So people might see us on Home and Garden Television or the National Geographic Channel, Discovery Channel. And then they realize, oh, wow, houses can actually be moved.
Hmm.
So lots of ways people might discover us.
Yeah, I guess on that same theme right there, give us a couple of different ways on you, maybe elaborate on exactly how do you acquire these homes?
Yeah, in terms of actually saving homes and being proactive about it, because that's, especially on Healthy Home Casting, that's obviously a big focus of what you guys do, making people aware of environmental companies. It really is a huge important focus for our company, and we try to establish a good presence in the community and awareness among developers, among architects, among contractors, people that might be building things that are for higher density, like either townhouses, or maybe if there's a waterfront home where they're wanting to tear down one home that's been there for many years and then put a larger one. And when they realize, oh, we can do our project and we actually don't have to lose anything at all by allowing the house to be moved. In other words, not only do we do something that's good environmentally, and a preservation perspective, but also we can actually save the demolition costs. And for a large waterfront home, that could mean $30,000 or $40,000 in demolition costs. So they actually save that money. We end up acquiring the house typically for a dollar, and then our buyers actually end up paying the moving cost. So there's no cost to the developer, and in fact, they actually save money to do it. Even a smaller home even with this economy, the way that it's changed and the way it's less expensive to do things like demolish a house, it still costs about $8,000 or $9,000 to demolish even a small house. So a homeowner can save that, and they can do a good thing for the environment at the same time.
Yeah, one of the things I was thinking about from a contractor's point of view is where people talk about, you know, from actually an employment and a job point of view is about, well, something like this really, you know, that's preventing them from building more houses. But the truth of the matter is, from the beginning to the end of the whole process, there's still quite a number of different types of contractors and stuff that are involved in the whole process. So it's far from, it's simultaneously saving and then also offering people job opportunities.
That's a good observation, because basically it is true that you don't have to rebuild the upper portion of the house, but there's a lot of skills that go into the design and engineering and architecture for making sure that the lower floor, the new basement, is created properly, especially if it's a daylight basement where you've done a new set of rooms down there and things like that. And we actually have some really wonderful vendors that we use who are also very environmental minded and might be good candidates for your future shows, that actually love working on our projects because of that, because they are environmental. So, for example, an architect, Dan Corcoran, that you might want to meet sometime, he does a wonderful job thinking of creative ways to make that lower floor space into something that's very usable. And then, of course, the contractors, the people that do the foundation, the framing, the finish work inside the house, and all of that. So you're absolutely right. There's still a lot of work involved in that.
Yeah, you know, I'm afraid that we could probably go into a conversation about all this stuff for hours, because another thing that I had was a question was, what type of a relationship do you have with places like Second Use? And that's like actually one of the ones I know the best. I think there's like three of them.
Yeah, there's the Restore, Second Use, and Earthwise. And actually we have really good connections and relationships. And I think they're all aware to some level of our activities, and particularly with the Restore and Second Use, we know them personally. And there's even one of the things that we've long done with both Restore and Second Use in particular, just because we happen to know them better. We actually will work with them in almost a triage approach. In other words, we know that we can't always save a house. We can't always find a recipient for it. So when we're talking to the homeowner or the contractor, we actually encourage them to consider it as a staged approach. First, they try to allow us to move the house. And then if we can't, we allow enough time so that Second Use can come in or the Restore can come in and do, ideally, full deconstruction. If they can't do full deconstruction, then the next best thing is to at least do building salvage and get the best things like the trim and the built-ins and things like that. So we really like that approach of the staged approach. And very often we're referring things to Second Use and the Restore, and almost equally as often they're actually referring whole houses to us, because they actually believe in the idea of reuse in whole as opposed to taking parts of things. So it's a mutual admiration society. And Patrick and Noel at Second Use, Noel at the Restore, great people with a lot of real heart in the whole idea of the reuse of things and the saving of these old structures. So
yeah, I actually met Michael Armstrong.
And Michael,
he was the guy that I met when I first moved to Seattle. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have we put together a list of an unlimited list of people that we want to have on there, and that's definitely the kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
really cool. It's like you guys have created the epitome of sustainability with this whole thing. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's see. You just touched on a little bit. What is the Well, I'm going to just double this up. What is the save success rate? And also, what would be the waiting period, the shortest or longest, most likely the longest, that a house would be in its particular place before it was considered no longer a viable option for a. I like, for some reason, I like to use the word save. Are you familiar with that? The House That Saved the World project?
I haven't heard
we'll
of that.
We'll have to talk about that later. But anyhow, it's something completely different, by the way. But I just love the idea of saving this stuff.
Even though my official title with the company is something different on my card, I actually put Jeff McCord, House Rescuer.
There you go. I love it.
So in terms of, in the high economy, I think we were saving an average of over 80% of the houses that we had listed, which is a really good rate.
Yeah.
It's a little bit less now, just because it's much harder now for people to get loans and financing to be able to close on things and things like that. It's just a little bit tougher economy for people to do projects like this. So our percentage might be a little bit lower in terms of the number that we list versus the number that we save. We also will kind of make a judgment call about whether to take a house into our inventory and actually store it in one of our many different locations we can store houses, or just trying to save a house in place. And that's obviously the best thing, because then if we are able to actually rescue it, then it's a single move. It's only moving from one spot to a destination and not having to move a second time, through a storage location. So a lot of the houses that you see on our website are actually still at their original location. We try to get them so that we at least are listing them for about 2 months at a minimum, because we need some time to really publicize them and let people know that they're available and give them time to also do their planning. But we've had houses for, as long as a few years or more. And we've never, to my knowledge, actually ended up, well, we ourselves have not gotten into demolishing houses. Of course, we work really hard to save them. But in certain cases when we have not been able to save them, that's when we turn people over to people like Second Use and the Restore and stuff like that. So.
Awesome. So you mentioned earlier, you threw out the number, approximately 300 homes per year. So how many homes do you think have been, for the sake of things, we can talk about how many have been moved. We can imagine that it's been a tremendous amount. Approximately how many houses do you think have been saved through your company? So you've been in business, or the company has been in business since...
Over 56 years, I believe.
So 56 years. Do you have any like rough estimate on how many houses may have been saved in 56 years?
Yeah, I'd have to have a calculator for that. But and of course, it may not have been as many in the first number of years. But ultimately, it's literally in the tens of thousands of homes that we've saved.
Tens of thousands of homes.
What I would say is that... And in terms of a typical year, we're moving or lifting, almost a house a day.
Wow.
And that's between our four offices.
Yeah.
But about half of them are moves and about half of them are lifts. And of the ones that are moves, we move about 50 to 70 by barge. So we do a lot of barge moving. We're probably the largest marine house mover, meaning moving things by water, in North America.
So on a universal scale, do you have any concept or idea of how many companies like this there may be in the world?
That's a good question. There's a great website for people that are not in Washington State that you can go to actually find a house mover, because very often people will actually hear about us from Kansas or from Texas or something like that. And we send them to the IASM.org website, which is International Association of Structural Movers.org. And you can actually look up by state and find the house movers that are in your area. And typically, I think you'll find there's at least two or three per state. Some states that have more populated centers may have 10 or 12 in certain cases. So it just depends on the size of the area and how much demand there is.
Be interesting to figure out exactly how many homes are saved in the world, but we won't try to put that math on anybody's brain right now.
Yeah.
We could just assume that it's been a few.
Well, it is worth stating that because a lot of times people have not really heard of house moving before, But the truth is that houses have been moved as long as houses have existed. They have moved houses by horse, by rolling on logs, by, you know, literally since early civilization times.
I wrote that down, actually. It's the modern version of, like, how the cave people move stuff knowledge that we'd gotten back in school and stuff. Yeah. That's really cool. And how do people find you or get in touch with you?
Absolutely. Well, certainly the best thing is to start at our website, which is www.nickelbros.com. Nickel spelled like the coin, NICKELBROS.com. And then it has all of our phone numbers and contact information there. So that's a great way to start. And you can also look at examples of all the things that we move, because we have wonderful pictures there. We have a very dynamic website that changes a lot. And we actually have an average of about 14,000 viewers that come to our website per month. So it's quite a few people in terms of individual site visits. It's quite a popular thing, and a lot of people have it bookmarked, and they look for houses that are coming up anytime we have something new that comes up.
So this is a good question. Do you enjoy what you do?
I love it. Yeah, it's a passion, I would say. I think that ultimately, one of the things that's been great about all of us here at Nickel Brothers is that because it is a family company, and because it's so, you know, personally looked after by the owners, there's a wonderful retention rate of all of the employees. In fact, I just heard today from Adam, our operations manager at Everett. He was mentioning that the newest of our employees in the Vancouver office, I believe, has been there for 17 years. So it shows that you know, there's a lot of commitment and a lot of support for the people that work there. And then, of course, I love the industry because of the saving of houses and the environmental aspects and things like that.
Okay, yeah, we've got so many questions. We're going to have to maybe do a follow-up in the near future and stuff, but we're not done. I've got some here. Let's see. What does a healthy home mean to you? These are the standard
questions.
The healthy home cast questions that people aren't going to be able to get out the door until they answer. So,
of course. Yeah, so a healthy home is a home that is loved and cared for by the person that lives there. It's a home that... that when things are done to it, they're done with forethought, and hopefully to further the house's life, to keep it from degrading, from you know, not being cared for well. I think that the products they choose and the people they choose to hire to do things, it's critically important that they pick people that are like-minded, and so that's what a healthy home means to me.
Sweet. So what does sustainability mean to you?
Well, I think that the first rule in sustainability is to try to have the highest level of reuse possible, because we've already in human history taken advantage of the resources, the natural resources that have been in the places that we've moved into. And certainly one of the hugest natural resources in the Northwest has been the forests. And I see that all of our wonderful houses that have been built in the Northwest are a product of all of those trees that grew here naturally. And to carelessly demolish them and not reuse them is a pretty big slap in the face of nature, to be honest. I think that if you can figure out a way to reuse it rather than building something new, it's a huge thing in terms of sustainability.
That's one of the many reasons I love you. Let's see. Can you offer some kind of tip here and now how person, either directly related or indirectly related to their business that you're here talking about, how people can improve their life green-wise or healthy-wise?
Yeah, I think that even doing small things is great. I mean, you don't have to become vegetarian and not wear leather shoes and recycle every scrap of paper that you ever use and things like that. The key is when you're making decisions, and especially bigger decisions, try to make decisions that you know is going to have a better impact than maybe another choice might offer. So if there's something that you can choose that ends up reducing waste in some way, allowing a longer life of something that is a product that's in your life, choosing something that's healthier for the environment, then you're doing a small thing that adds up to a big thing when you think of all the people that are making those choices.
So language is something that's very important to me. One of the things that I really like to ask people about is in either with the people that you're talking to with Nickel Brothers or just the generally people in your life, what descriptive words do you feel work best with people, like such as green or eco or sustainability?
Yeah, I think that certainly a word that I've used a lot is sustainability. That's one of the words I probably use more than any other related to those concepts. Certainly, I mean, I think it's popular to call a business a green business, but it's in some ways kind of an empty word when it's used particularly just to try to get, you know, sympathy or customers or whatever. I think that you really, you know, should practice what you preach. And I think that one of the things that's been nice about Nickel Brothers is that even, like I said, even before it was known what a green business was, you know, it was a green business, so to speak. So I've always appreciated that about the industry.
Yeah, that's actually like a number of the things that we won't touch on, but the thing about the greenwashing and everything is a very something that's near and dear to me that we talk about a lot. So what helpful hints or wise advice do you have to share with people that has significant meaning to you in your life?
Well, I mean, certainly one personal comment is I just am so impressed with what you guys are doing with the Healthy Homecast, and I think that you're following your bliss and you're helping to shed some light on some really great like-minded people that are doing good things for the world. And I think that you are a great voice in that respect. So keep up what you're doing. I think that that's actually something that's really giving back to the world in a good way. So I really wish you great success with all your pursuits.
Well, thank you very much. And likewise, what groups or organizations do you support or are you affiliated with?
Well, certainly we've been very supportive of the various green or environmentally positive directories and other businesses in the Northwest. I've admired for a long time things that various organizations like the Finney Neighborhood Association have done. Certainly anytime there's building that's done that is trying to do, you know, LEED certification or green building, it's always a positive. So anything like that is certainly a really good thing that should be done whenever possible. So
we talked about, nickelbrothers.com, correct? And we'll put the stuff up on our site. But are there any other websites or phone numbers? Or we're living in the age with Facebook and Twitter and blog. Is there any of that stuff that you want to let people know about, have people check out, contact you by?
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything off the top of my head. I think that that's a great thing for me to kind of follow up and let you know if there's something I think of after the podcast. But right off the top of my head, there's not any one thing that pops up.
We'll have you send it to us, and then we'll, like, put it on.
Absolutely.
There. Are there any specials or upcoming events or any other info that you'd like to offer listeners right now that we can put on the podcast or put it on our site?
Yeah, I do know that that Historic Seattle is going to have a building fair coming up soon, and I don't recall the exact date, but I know it's in early April, and we're actually going to have a small presence there. So if people want to come and learn a little bit about what we do in person, I apologize, I don't know the dates and times, but certainly
well, you'll get those to us.
Yeah,
we'll put them on there for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, any last words or anything that you feel was left out?
Nope, but yeah, you've done a great job with all your questions, and it's been a real pleasure talking with you about this, and I can't wait to hear some of the other great people that you've been talking to.
Well, thank you very much, and you're welcome, and it's been a real pleasure for me as well, and I guess that's it. So for Tony Freiss and Daryl Whalen, we have Jeff McCord and Nickel Brothers here on episode 4 of Healthy Homecast. So thank you very much, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thank you for listening to Healthy Homecast, brought to you by HealthyPainting.com. Please feel free to contact us with any comments, questions, or suggestions for upcoming show topics or guests. Call us at 206-650-4587 or send a direct email to info@healthyhomecast.com. Be sure to check back. New episodes coming soon.
Desert low, smells like rain.